Lord, we pray as we turn to Scripture, Lord, we pray that your word would have way in us. Lord, we pray, God, that you would reveal who you are, that you would reveal your truth, that you would reveal your heart, your desire, your plans. Lord, we pray for that gift of revelation, that rhema word to come forward this morning. Lord, we ask for a work of your spirit upon us, Lord. Help us, Lord, this morning. Help us, give us that attention that we need to look steadfastly upon you. And Lord, we pray this morning for that anointing upon that word. I ask, Lord, for that anointing to preach and teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing, that we can hear and receive what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking this morning. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen, amen. This morning, I want to share a word with you on the Spirit of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see this dichotomy as the Apostle Paul sets up. And it's really a transition between the Old Testament in the New Testament. How many of you are New Testament Christians? You know, and we take that for granted, but the Apostle Paul is speaking to a people that had come out of the bondage of the Old Testament. They didn't have the power of God. They didn't have the witness of the Holy Spirit. All they had was the letter of the law. And the letter of the law brings about a bondage upon the life. Amen? But the Spirit of God brings freedom. And so the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he's writing, and he says in verse number 17, he says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The liberty that we're talking about in this passage is the birthright of the Christian. This liberty is something that the world does not have. Now, we live in a free nation, and there's a lot of freedoms that people have in America, but I promise you, in America, unless someone is a child of God, though they may walk in the land of freedom, they are bound by the dictates of the devil. The reality is that only God can set the captive free. The only freedom that is true freedom is the freedom that comes wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. Amen? I want to tell you something this morning, that God wants to show you that he's a deliverer. God wants to show you that he still has the ability to deliver out of bondage. Amen? God is still a deliverer. Now, he is delivered in the past. He delivered the nation of Israel in the past. He delivered you in the past. But I want you to know today, on this last day of the year, you need to know that God is still a deliverer. Amen. God has never stopped delivering his children. God has never come short of the promise to fulfill a work of deliverance in our lives. God has never come short of it. He's never lacked. He's never missed out. He's never missed an opportunity to show himself as a deliverer. Amen. Now, some of us here today, we look at that word deliverance and we say, that's a neat word. It's awesome that God has done things for so many people, and yet we are not walking in the promises of God. I want you to look at that word one more time. It said, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so I will challenge you this morning that if you're not walking in freedom, and if you're not walking in liberty, it could be that you've not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God said, wherever he is, there is liberty. Amen. And you need to know today that there's a way that you can tell wherever God has moved in your life. And that way that you can tell is that the bondage has been broken. Deliverance has come to the captive. And I want you to know that even though we live in the land of freedom, so many people are bound. Even in the church of God, there are people that are bound up. They're bound by despair. They're bound by depression. They've got a addictions and afflictions, and the devil whispers sweet nothings in their ear. But God said he's a deliverer, and he's never stopped being a deliverer, and he's calling upon you to trust what he has said, to put faith upon the word of God, to trust what God said. Now, if you don't trust what God said, there's a bigger battle. If you don't trust what God said, it's one thing for God to have beautiful words in Scripture, but it's another for you to believe what God said. God said, if you believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to those that believe. You have to put faith and know and earnestly believe with all your heart that what God said is true. And He said, wherever He is, there's liberty. There's never a place that God's ever been that there's been chains of bondage. There's never a place that God's been. So, you know, the devil will get you to kind of temper down those expectations and to kind of simmer down and settle down and say, well, I'm just going to kind of get through this season that I'm in. I'm not walking in victory like I once had, and I'm not as strong in the faith as sister so-and-so, and I'm still going through my battles, but God's going to get me through. Listen to me. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Don't let the Word of God lie. Believe what God said. And I want you to think about your own life and look at the areas of your life where there's no freedom, where there's no liberty, where there's the dark skies of the devil. Maybe it's in a battle of depression. Maybe it's in you're feeling sorry for yourself. Listen to me. God loves you. God sought you. God bought you. And He delivers. And He delivers by faith those that will believe. Now, the Word of God here says that deliverance comes. I want you to know that if there's an area of your life that God couldn't deliver, it would cast aspersions on His character. I'm just going to have to deal with this all my life. You know, that actually casts an aspersion on the character of God. God said wherever He is, there's liberty. He's telling you He's a deliverer. So listen, if there's an area of your life that you're unwilling to get set free from, it actually casts an aspersion on God. And it says that God can do this and this, but He can't do that. Don't cast an aspersion on my God. Amen. He sets the captive free. And if there's an area in your life where you're not walking in victory, where you're not walking in the fullness of God, where God's not freely outpouring His Spirit and bringing deliverance, then it actually casts an aspersion on the Lord God Almighty. Listen, if you are required to live in bondage, then God's a liar. But my Bible says God's not a man that He should lie. Amen? God is Spirit. He incarnated in flesh, but He is Spirit. And I want you to know this morning that if God required you to live in bondage, then He's not a deliverer. So you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no area of your life that God wants you to walk in bondage in. None. It doesn't matter if it's drugs or pornography or guilt from your past. It doesn't matter if it's lust or envy or pride. Some of you got a bad temper. God don't want you to walk in bondage to anything anymore. In Jesus' name. As we turn the page on this year, God's calling His children to walk in freedom and to walk in liberty. And in order for you to be the person that God has called you to be in this generation, you're going to have to walk free from casting an aspersion on the character of God. Look at that verse. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? Now, bondage, I'm going to give you my working definition for bondage. Bondage in the Word of God, you can look through definitions. It's service, it's slavery, it is, a work that must be done. How many of you know when someone's in bondage, that's how they are? Got to do this. Bondage, my definition for bondage is required service. Now, I want you to know something this morning. When you're a child of God, the devil has no claim on your life. But when someone's in bondage, they set their faith to the side, and they have to perform required service to this bondage of the devil. If it's depression, hey, you're required to serve that thing, aren't you? You can't get too happy. You can't get too happy when you're battling depression. Why? Because it is a master over you. And you are required to serve that master. Maybe you can get happy a little bit, but not a lot, not for long. Because sooner or later, you gotta tend to that shadow. You've got to pamper that shadow. That's what depression is. I'm telling you this morning, God has come to set you free. He's a deliverer, and He has the key to unlock the chains that the devil has put you in. Whatever the issue is. But required service, when you get in the right situation at the right time and you say, well, I've got to do this. I know people that they've got a bad temper, and if you talk bad about their mama, or you talk bad about their car, or you talk bad about their dog, you're going to see a side of them you never seen before. You don't talk to me that way, right? They just rise up. That's something, that's required service. That's an area of the flesh that rules and reigns over your life. And when the right thing, here's your word, triggers it, then you've got required service. It's like that bell. They used to have, they would ring a bell and the dog would eat a treat. And they would ring a bell and the dog would eat a treat. And they trained those dogs. Every time that bell rings, they'd come to that thing and get a treat. And you know the devil does the same thing with you. You get too excited for the Lord. You start going forward in the Lord. He knows to ring that bell and to trigger that thing, that area of bondage where you have required service to that issue. It could be that you just can't handle other people going forward while you're not. And you just can't stand it. So you got to tear them down. You got to gossip. You got to backbite. Amen. I'm telling you, the root of gossip is because you don't want to see others go forward in God. That's the root of it. You don't want to see others prospering in the things of God, especially while you're not. And so you want to tear them down to make yourself look better. In all these areas, it all has a one common denominator, and it is that there's a trigger that the enemy uses over the people of God to keep them back from the promises of God. Some people will settle for partial victories. Some people will settle for partial victories. Don't ever settle for partial victory. In required service, it's any area that you don't have victory in is what we're talking about today. If there's an area of your life that you don't have victory in, that's what we're talking about today. It could be certain sins. It could be triggered sins. It could be traps. How many of you know that the enemy's good at laying traps? One of the biggest traps I believe that the enemy has brought upon the church right now is this fear. There's fear-mongering like crazy going on right now. I want to tell you, with all the tender love and care of a pastor, it doesn't matter how red-pilled you are. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. You can figure out every conspiracy that there is out there, but that won't help you on Judgment Day. And listen, I know what they're saying. Oh, the elites are building bunkers because they know something's coming, and there's this fear-mongering like a tidal wave coming on everybody because they say, well, if the elite are building these bunkers, then what are we going to do? We're just sitting potatoes. Well, let me tell you something. They may build bunkers, but they can't hide from the judgment of God. Amen. They can't hide from the judgment of God. God will find them out. Amen. Let God deal with them. You worry about you and let God deal with them. Why don't we put our hand to the plow and not look back? Why don't we serve God? Why don't we fulfill the Great Commission? Why don't we be filled with the Spirit and walk in the victory that God's given us? Amen. Let's tend to our issues and let God tend to His. And I want to tell you this morning, the fear-mongering that the enemy is bringing is something that we've got to come away from. The Word of God says that God did not give us that spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you need to determine which spirit you're going to obey, the spirit of the Lord or the spirit of the age. If you obey the spirit of the age, you're going to be coward, you're going to be in fear, and you're going to be in bondage. But I want to show you, that verse tells you, wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. There's liberty. Now, liberty is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Liberty is a beautiful thing. There are places in your life, though, that the enemy kind of hides. There's places in your life where you say, I've got enough here. I've got enough here. How many of you know that one of the biggest traps the enemy gives people is this lie that they think that they have enough already. They think they have enough already. I want to tell you, God sees through this. God sees through it. God sees through all of our heart. God sees through our motives. He sees through our actions. He sees through everything about us, and He sees to the root cause of the issue. And if you don't think that's true, I want to show you a passage. If you will, turn with me in the Word of God back to the book of 2 Samuel. Turn with me back to 2 Samuel. I want to tell you a story about David. David, in this passage, had just become the king. And one of the first things that David knew he needed to do was to bring the Ark of God back to the city of God. He knew he needed to do that. How many of you know, most people know they have an obligation with God. David knew he had an obligation with God. Now, there's something very important I want to show you in this passage. And some of you, this is a familiar passage, but I want to show you something fresh in this. David, at one point, they started bringing the Ark of the Lord into the city. And at one point, it got unsteady. You remember that? And Uzziah tried to steady it, and he was killed. David left it alone for a few months, and he came back. But I want to tell you, he came back in a different way. I want to show you something this morning in this passage. David, in this first instance, he came, but when he came after someone was killed, it got real. And he knew from that moment going forward, I better give God all I got. It's time to stop playing games. How many of you have seen somebody, come on, in the church take onslaught from the devil? Or take on a bondage, and they actually, their life gets taken. Tragedy strikes. Amen? It should sober you up. Because God's no respecter of persons. It should sober you up. There's a lot of people that I never would have thought they would have walked away from God, have walked away from God. There's a lot of people that I never thought would get involved in certain things, got involved in certain things. And it should sober you up, because God's no respecter of persons. But there is something He respects. There is something He respects, and that's that right heart. Listen, in this passage, I want to show you something in 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Look with me in verse number 3. 2 Samuel 6, I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. It says, "They set the ark of God upon a new cart, brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark." Listen to this very closely. "David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God." I want to show you, key in on verse number 5. It says that David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manners of instruments. All manner of instruments. In other words, when the first time that David brought this ark in and he was bringing it in, he had the worship going on. He had not only one instrument, he had all manner of instruments of fir wood. I mean, he had everything. He had the ensemble going on. Let me say it like this. It was a beautiful sound to the natural ear. Listen closely. It was a beautiful sound to the natural ear. they had every instrument going. How many of you know sometimes, now I'm not musically inclined, but I know some people are, and they're like, man, if we had drums, this would really be going good. Oh, if we had a trumpet, it would be really rocking. Oh, if we had a this, and I'm like, okay, I don't hear that. But some people, they hear that music, they hear the instruments, and here David had all the instruments going. They weren't missing one instrument. There was something missing, though. There was something missing. And the thing that was missing was the right heart. They had right intentions, and they had all the instruments, but they didn't have a right heart. There was still an area that God hadn't touched yet. There was still a place inside of them that God wasn't all that He wanted to be. It was there was a remote place down in there. Now, on the outside, nobody could see it, but God saw it. And God saw that there was something missing in the music. He saw that there was something missing in the man. He saw and He sees in us when there's something missing. We may sound beautiful. We may look beautiful. We may be beautiful. But God sees when there's something missing on the inside. Oh, and we can put on the smile because we don't want anyone to know that we're broken. But I want to tell you that your God loves you and your God doesn't want you to be broken. And wherever He is, He brings freedom from the brokenness. And if you will trust Him and give your life to Him, God will come to you and God will fill you and God will set you free. He is your friend. He is your lover. He is your sustainer. Amen. But they had all the music going, and I want to tell you, in the church world, we have the music going. Oh, man, do we have the music going. We have perfected the world's art of lights, camera, and action. We've got the laser and the smoke machines. Amen. We've got colored lights. Amen. We've got it. We've got the emotional issue down. But God sees through it. God sees through it. That's one of the reasons why in this church we worship with the lights on, you know. Because God sees through. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, the Word of God says. I like that. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And you know, God sees through our beauty on the outside. And He sees to the areas of our life where we're not living in liberty. He sees into those places of our life. And I want to tell you, you may say, well, I'm not serving the devil. I'm not, you know, doing seances, and I'm not going out and fornicating and robbing banks. But if there's an area of your life where the fullness of God is not setting you free, you're in bondage somehow, some way. God came to set His people free. Not so that you have to limp through and go through the motions, but He came to set you free. Look at this verse again. They had all the instruments, but they didn't have God's favor. And you know, in our life, we can have all the instruments going and not have the favor of God. We can have all the instruments going and still be missing what God truly desires that we have. So the carelessness ended up costing the life of a man. And he was doing a good thing. I mean, nobody wants to see the ark of God fall, but he just did the wrong thing at the wrong time. I want to tell you, God requires obedience. God is exact in His ways. He's exact in His word. And He requires us to be exact in our faith. David comes back a different way. And let me tell you something. God wants you to come back a different way too. You see, David missed it. And one of the things about David is it said in the Word of God that he was a man after God's own heart. David blew it. David sinned. He fell. And he fell miserably. And it's written in the pages of Scripture for all of mankind to see. But yet David came back to God. He came back to God and he brought to God what God desired, a broken heart. He brought to God what he desired, a contrite spirit. He brought to God a confession. He brought to God himself in humility and subjection to the Spirit of God. Every time David messed up, he would come back to God and he would say, Lord, I'm broken. I've missed it. I've messed up. Listen to me. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And then you would see the comeback. You would see the comeback from David. You would see the Spirit of God come upon him and you would see the comeback. And I want to tell you what God's looking for in the church today is not better music. Do we need good preaching? Yeah, we need good preaching, but he's not even looking for better preaching. Amen. What's he looking for? He's looking for faith. He's looking for us to trust him, to believe him with all our heart. He's getting us to come back to the root of the issue. David here at all the music, and all the music pleased not God. But I want to show you something that happened next. 3 months go down, and David is inspired to come back and try to move the ark again. But he doesn't come back with all the instruments. How many of you know that it's a lot of work to move that many instruments? This is before cars and vans, right? This is before you could rent a U-Haul and bring all these instruments. At one moment, David had all these instruments there, and they were playing on all these instruments. But when David comes back to get the Ark of God the second time, he doesn't bring all the instruments. Look what he does, though. It says in verse number 12, it says, it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he, David, sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Listen to this. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. I want to tell you, David left all the instruments of firwood. He left all the ensemble around, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to bring God a sacrifice. I'm going to dance before God with all my might. I'm going to shout before God, and somebody blow a trumpet. He decided he was going to give God his all. He didn't dance this. He didn't give God the golf clap. He didn't give God the, I've got victory in Jesus. It said he gave a shout, I've got victory in Jesus. And he jumped, I've got the name of the Lord. He gave God his all, and God, listen, God went before him, and God inhabited the praises of David. It said that he brought God what he truly desired, a shout, a dance, and a song. Amen? He brought that sacrifice. Amen. And I want you to know God's waiting on you to give him a shout. God's waiting on you to dance before the Lord with all your might. God's waiting on you to bring a sacrifice that he truly desires. God's waiting on you to bring what he truly desires. And if you're like me and you wonder why the ark of the God, which represents the presence of God, is not in the church in these days, it's not because we don't have enough lights or cameras or action. It's not because we need more laser lights or more smoke machines. We don't need new saxophones or trumpets or xylophones. What we need is for you to shout before God. We need you to dance before God with all your might. We need you to bring a sacrifice to God that he truly desires. And when we bring to God what he truly desires, his spirit will fill the place. God's waiting on his people to know and understand the word of the Lord. that if we would give God ourselves, give God our best, give God the most, give God all that we have, God said he would come. And listen to me, listen to the word of the Lord. Wherever the Spirit of God is, he brings freedom. There is no bondage. When David began to dance, when David began to shout, when David began to bring a sacrifice, there was no bondage in David's life. And I want to tell you that that same freedom God desires to do in you and in the church of God today. As we come in this new year, God is calling on us to stop casting aspersions on the character of God Almighty. He set me free. He set me free. Praise God, he set me free. Listen, God is calling on us to stop casting aspersions on his character. If he's a deliverer, shout it out. If he's a deliverer, dance it out. And you may say, brother, I can't shout no more. Well, give God what you got. Amen. You may not have a lot, but give God what you got. I'll tell you, God knows and he understands. If all you've got is two mites, if you're that widow and all you've got is two mites, but you give God all you got, I want you to know it pleases your Father. God is calling on us. If we want the presence of God back in our lives, if we want the power of God back in the church, if we want to see God move today like he's moved in the past, we need to do what David did. We need to go back to the drawing board and bring God our best. Now, I'm not saying we've got to take all the instruments out, but what I am saying is we've got to give God a shout. We've got to give God a dance with all our might. We've got to bring God a sacrifice. And I want you to know God is going to move when his people do that. Bondage. God has called us to not be in bondage, but to live in freedom. Now, over and over, I want to tell you this. Back in Deuteronomy, we're not going to turn there, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God tells the nation of Israel to tell their children about what he did. And he said it like this. He said, lest you forget that I delivered you from bondage. Now, do you really think they would forget? Like, intellectually forget? No. Now, God's not talking about intellectually forgetting. God's talking about forsaking the place of deliverance. Because when God came to the nation of Israel, when they were in their bondage, in their required service, God heard their cry when they cried out to God with all their hearts. There was a moment in time that God decided to move in a work of deliverance, and it was because he was waiting on them to cry out with all their heart. And when they cried out, God did a work of deliverance. And he told them in Deuteronomy 6, he said, now rehearse this, tell it to your children so they don't forget. Nobody's going to forget, but they are going to forsake. They're going to forget that place where they were. Now, I want to tell you, I want you to think back at places in your life when God's moved mightily, when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, when God healed you, when God set you free. I'm telling you, you weren't just walking down the street listening to MC Hammer and the Holy Ghost came. I'm telling you, you were on your face, all with tears coming down your eyes, with a broken heart, crying out in Jesus' name, and he came. And I'm telling you today that if you'll come back, don't forget what God did. Don't forsake the place of deliverance. Go back to that place where God came the first time, and God will come a new time. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if you'll bring to God what he truly desires, he'll do the same thing today that he's always done. He is a deliverer, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is the word of the Lord to you today. If there's an area in your life where there's no freedom, where there's bondage, I'm telling you, God wants to set you free. If there's a place in you when others are going forward in God and you don't want them to go forward, that's a bondage. If there's a sin issue in you, that's a bondage. If there's a valley of depression that you're stuck in, come on, God came to set you free. Amen. Let me show you one last thing in John chapter 8. John chapter number 8. Jesus speaking to some religious folks here in John chapter 8. There's an area, I want you to know, there's an area that we need to touch on. Anything that's not spirit-filled is suspect to bondage. Spirit-filled life is not it's not extra credit in God's eyes. If you desire to live and be who God called you to live and be, you must be spirit-filled. Any area of your life that the Holy Ghost is not involved in is a place of bondage. Think about it. Any place. Any place. If the Holy Ghost isn't in your home, the Holy Ghost isn't in your heart, come on. Don't cast aspersions on God. The Spirit of God must have access to every area of your life. You know, there was a time whenever I first got saved, and I didn't want to be like the church folks. I didn't want to be like them. I wanted to remain cool. But I was okay with being saved. I recognized my need to be saved, but I want to still be cool. And one thing I never did in all my life is ask the Lord to deliver me from cigarettes. But I smoked a pack and a half a day. And I mean, whenever I got saved, I was fine. But I tell you what I did do. I waited till I got out of the church parking lot to light up. I didn't light one up in front of my new church friends. Right? I waited till I was out of sight, out of mind. In other words, there was an area of my life I was not willing to let the Holy Ghost have complete control over. There was an area. For some of us, it's this or that. But there was an area, there was a pocket inside of my life that it was mine. And even though I had given my heart to God, there was still an area. There was a small area, but it was an area I wasn't willing to let the Spirit of God have access on. He got it. He got it. I went through a process, but he got control of that issue. He will continue on until he takes control of that thing, or he'll walk away. And I praise God I had enough sense that whenever the Lord put that before me, I knew to go with God and not cigarettes. But I will tell you this, the point I'm trying to make on this is that the Spirit of God must have access to all your life. There should not be an area of our life that we keep hidden back from God. Amen? I'm going to go waller in my sorrows. Well, let God waller with you then. Bring God in the situation. Let the glory of God come in there. I understand when we go through suffering. Listen, we have a comforter. He walks with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. There's no valley that I walk through that God won't walk through with me. But God never told you to sit in the valley. Called you to walk through the valley. If you're going through it, keep going. If you're going through it, don't stop. Keep going. Get through it in Jesus' name. But he says He says, and I believe the Spirit of God is telling you this, he wants access to every area of your life. And whatever area of your life he touches, he'll bring liberty. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. In John chapter number 8, verse number 34. John chapter number 8. Let me work through this. Let's go up to verse number 30. It says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. You know that's where most evangelists and preachers and teachers stop at? Can I see that hand? Can I see that hand? Nod your head, right? The most preachers and evangelists and teachers, they stop right there. Jesus never did. If you go back and you look at John chapter 6, Jesus literally preached a crowd away. He preached and he kept on preaching and he got deeper and it got hotter and people got up and they hit the doors. Jesus finally turned to Peter and the rest and he said, are y'all going to leave too? Because literally he preached the room empty. You want to know what good preaching looks like? Look how Jesus preached in John 6. He preached the room empty. Because good preaching confronts us with the reality of who God is. True preaching confronts us with the reality of who God is. And I'm telling you this morning, God is a deliverer. He's never stopped being a deliverer. If he's ever delivered, he still delivers. And if he's delivered one person, he'll deliver you too. God is a deliverer. That's who he is. And it should confront us. Because we should be saying, can God deliver me from this issue? Yes. It says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, how many of you know that's conditional? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. He didn't say, oh, hey, all these Jews believe, they're my disciples now. No, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you then, after that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Can I ask you a question? Y'all remember the book of Exodus? Y'all remember the book of Exodus, right? Was Abraham's seed in bondage? Yes. Abraham's seed was in bondage. The seed of Abraham, every single Israelite was in bondage in Egypt. And they had the audacity to look at Jesus and say, we've never been in bondage to any man. Because Jesus said, look, you're going to know the truth. The truth's going to make you free. And they said, why do we need that freedom? We've never been in bondage. We're the seed of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. Now listen, they were in bondage in that hour to Rome. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. If Rome said, we're going to take a tax and a census, guess what Joseph and Mary had to do? They had to go to Bethlehem and pay their tax and take their census because they were in bondage to Rome. But a greater bondage was over in Egypt. And yet they had the audacity to say, we've never been in bondage. You know what that reminds me of? So many people in the church world. Look. You wear a tie, you don't look like you in bondage to nothing, do you? We got everything looking great. We got everything sounding great. It don't look like we're in bondage to nothing. But God sees through that. Just like God saw through David's ensemble of band. I believe in, if you go back and you look at that, you see that they had all the instruments of fir wood and they had the whole band playing. David was probably, you know, shining his fingernails or something while the band was playing. Yawn. Wasn't giving God his heart. And they said, we've never been in bondage. And that shows you right there when somebody's not ready to be delivered. It's because they don't recognize they're in bondage. You see, there was a time when Jesus came to Nazareth and it said he couldn't do many miracles there. Literally, God in flesh couldn't do much of anything in Nazareth. You know why? They didn't have belief. They had no faith. They didn't believe. And so we wonder sometimes why God's not working in our life. Look what God's requiring. Recognize your need and come to him. Recognize your need and come to him. They would not recognize their need. They would not recognize their need. Now, maybe the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on an issue in your life right now. Maybe he is. But it's the Pharisees that say, I'm not in bondage. It's somebody else. It's somebody else. Listen, as long as you live in the flesh, you need God to keep delivering you. Most of the time from you. Sometimes from the devil. But God's a deliverer anyway. But he says this in response to their wisdom. We've never been in bondage. He says in verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Last verse. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I want to tell you this morning that God has come to make you free. And when he comes to you to make you free, you will be free indeed. No, listen, no strings attached. When God comes to set a person free, he doesn't bring them back into more bondage. He doesn't require to them of more servitude. God said when he comes to set someone free, they will be free indeed. But what we need on the issue is we need God. We need God on the issue. Amen? This morning, I want to tell you to survey yourself and ask yourself if you are like David was the first time or the second time. And look at the church world today. We've got all the instruments. But do we have somebody shouting? Do we have somebody dancing? And look, I'm not talking about, you know, just doing it for show. God sees through it. I'm talking about truly bringing God our heart. Saying, Lord, you've given me life. You've given me new life. You've cleansed me from my past sin. I'm giving you all I got. That's what spurred the heart of David. And I want to tell you this morning that God's looking to spur your heart too. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to hear the word of God. And Lord, we ask for the liberty, God, to be at work in our life. Lord, I pray as we wind down this year that we wouldn't wind down. But Lord, that we would be stirred up. Lord, I pray for a work of your Spirit in our life. Lord, that you would stir us up to believe. That we'd not be like those Jews in Nazareth that saw God with their eyes but wouldn't believe with the heart. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for liberty to come to your people today. That there not be one person here today in bondage to sorrow or depression. There not be one person in bondage to pornography or alcohol. There not be one person in this place in bondage to fornication or lust or envy or pride. Lord, I pray this morning that there not be one person in bondage to their past. But Lord, I pray for a work of your Spirit here today. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, There's liberty. And Lord, we're calling upon you this morning to be our deliverer. If there's an area of your life that you need God to deliver you, raise your hand right now and testify to God. Say, Lord, I need you this morning. I need you. I need you. Thank 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 you. Anyone else? Thank you. Heavenly Father, you see our hands today. We know, we see, God, our need of you. We are not as those Jews who said, we've never been in bondage. But Lord, we're telling you, we need you like never before. We need you like never before. Lord, I pray for a work of your Spirit in every person, oh God, in this church. We're going to open up our altars right now. And if you need God to do a work in you, you come. Let God do a work in you. Listen, we're not present.